In Lamentations chapter 3, just reading the first verse, this is our ninth message in this particular book, or maybe the tenth, not sure. But notice with me as we read, we're going to actually cover about 20 verses this evening. And then next week, the following week, we'll look at verse 22 through 26. Notice in verse 1, Jeremiah writing, he says, I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of thy wrath. Father, we thank thee this day for the opportunity again to come together in thy house with thy people. Lord, we continue to ask as we work our way through this book, we pray, God, that thy will to be done. We pray, Lord, that we would recognize it as an important part of Scripture. That you have given us for our learning, for our hope. And we just pray, God, that again, that you speak to our hearts this evening, for it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week we finished chapter 2, and tonight we're going to look at some verses whereby Jeremiah and the people of Jerusalem and Judea were living in the shadow of God's wrath. This chapter could probably be divided up. It's the longest chapter, by the way. The other chapters have 22 verses, and this chapter has a total of 66 verses. And the first 20 verses speak of the bitterness of the soul of not only Jeremiah, but the people, as we've already been seeing in the first two chapters. And verse 21 through verse 22, I guess, 21, 22, through verse 26, we see words of comfort in distress. We'll be looking at the next time, the Lord's mercies. He speaks in verse 23, great is thy faithfulness. And then in verses 37 through about verse 41, our duty in afflictions, verse 42 through 54, Jeremiah comes back to the complaints again. Then in verses 55 through 66, he encourages them to look unto the Lord. Now the verses I'm going to begin reading this evening, and we're going to go through these first 20 verses fairly quick, and then we'll slow down in verse 21, 22 through 26 next time. But these verses, and I've mentioned this to you already before, but Jeremiah, when he's writing this letter, sometimes he's speaking of himself, sometimes he's speaking of Israel, sometimes he's speaking of himself and Israel all included. In other words, we find here this shows how every individual felt in Jerusalem and Judea. So I don't know that I can just pinpoint every verse and say this is Jeremiah speaking of himself or speaking about the people, but I believe many times throughout this little book that he's speaking of all of them in general. That they are sometimes he personally addresses himself. So please notice that as we just read through these verses tonight, there's no way out of their situation except the Lord deliver them. And please notice that it is God who has brought this chastisement. We've really seen this as we came through chapter 2. Now notice again, we're going to cover several verses this evening, and again, there's some repetition as we go through this book, and that's fine. The Lord has put it there for a reason. But he said in verse 1, he said, I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of thy wrath. Some believe this is Jeremiah only when he's talking about his prison sentence that we would read about, and especially in Jeremiah chapter 38. But notice we find here that he says, I am the man that have seen affliction by the rod of thy wrath. I'm going to teach this chapter in reference to he's speaking of himself and all of the people. They all experience the rod, not the sword, but the rod of God's wrath. And so he says, I am the man. Jeremiah and Judah, they've seen this affliction. He speaks of the bitterness of the soul as we come through these verses. And then notice with me in verse 2 that he says here in verse 2, he hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. And you'll see that again in verse 6, where he says, he has set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. Now, several times in the scripture, darkness speaks of calamity, whereas light would speak of prosperity. And we would see this in Matthew 4, verse 16 and 17, where there are those that sat in darkness and then they saw great light. You know, the Bible tells us, and even in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 5 through 7, that God, He is the creator. He creates evil as well. And in that context of that passage, evil is mentioned as calamity. And sometimes darkness is mentioned as calamity as well as light for prosperity. And so we find here that there's no light for the nation for walking. In other words, finding God and finding His will. And there's fears and unpleasant experiences as they're in captivity. Their city, their nation has been destroyed. Their temple, their place of worship has been destroyed. And so he says, he has led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. So the whole nation, as well as Jeremiah was experiencing what they experienced. Even though he was left in the land, he saw Jerusalem destroyed. And so they're all experiencing some of the same heartache because they've lost their homes and their cities and they've lost their place of worship and they've lost many of their friends that have been wounded or their family had been killed. Thousands had been killed in the siege of the Babylonians with Jerusalem. So everyone is experiencing sorrow of heart. And even the word bitterness sometimes is not just bitterness of heart, but it has to do with calamity. So they felt so far away from God. Notice he says in verse 2, and he hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Notice in verse 3, he says, surely against me is he turned, and he turneth his hand against me all the day. Now this passage, he's seeing the Lord. The Lord is like an enemy and not a friend. They feel separated from God. Again, they feel so far away from the Lord. Verse 3, surely against me he is turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. And we see the psalmist many times crying out. Psalms 13 that we are singing now, you know, speaking of the Lord, is like he's at a distance and he's not as a friend, but almost as an enemy. Notice as we read in verse 4, we see the physical aspect of this in verse 4. He said, my flesh and my skin hath he made old, he hath broken my bones. We find here wasting away. If this is him alone or if this is the nation, I believe it's including all, but they're wasting away. In other words, and by the way, perplexity, calamities, hardship, distress will make you age even quicker. And so there's physical problems as well as emotional problems, heart health problems, things of that nature. You take when war comes about, and they've been through a war. There's pestilence and famine and things like that. We've already seen this book and we'll see later that also plays in. And then there's disease and all of these things that take place. I read something years ago and it said just the 4 or 8 years of a president in office, their hair usually turns gray. And you know, you look at the pictures of before and after. We're talking about just 4 or 8 years. Just the stress and so forth of that particular job. And so no doubt calamities and hardships and stress will age us physically and so forth. Now notice with me in verse 5, he says, and he hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He has builded against me like walls around the individuals. When the city was sieged by the Babylonians and also by the Romans many, many years later, the city is sieged and there's famine. Again, there's heartache, there's sickness, there's disease that has taken place. Well, here in verse 5, he said, "He hath builded against me." It's like he's put a wall around them as they're under siege. And then he also says in verse 7, "He has hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy." Now, that was burdensome. And then in verse 9, "He hath enclosed my ways and with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked." And so they're just in distress. I mean, that's just what this book is about. There's much hope in this book. But again, it's describing the calamity that has taken place with the people of Israel. Verse 5, "He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail." Verse 6, "He has set me in dark places as they that be dead of old." Again, those dark places. Write down Psalms 85 and verse 5. That's Psalms 88 in verse 5 and 6. And then in Psalms 143 in verse 3. All right, now notice with me in verse 7. "He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy." Write down Job 3:23. "Hedged me about, hemmed him in, closed in." In other words, he feels trapped. Jeremiah's in Jerusalem looking at all the devastation, but many of the people are in Babylon in captivity. In verse 8, he says, "Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer." Imagine this, and I'm sure we felt like this. "Lord, are you hearing me? Are you listening to my prayer?" I know how many have ever asked the Lord that. Can you hear me? Are you listening to me? Or however you would put it, "Lord, please listen to me." Well, it says here in verse 8, "Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer." This is an image, an imagery like from a door shutting out an entrance. In other words, like a door being shut where you cannot pass through that. And so he says, "Also when I cry and shout." Now think about that alone, crying and shouting. He's begging for deliverance, is what that's saying. And he says in this passage, you could, by the way, write down Job 30 verse 20 and Psalms 22 verse 2. In Psalms 22 verse 2, the Lord Jesus crying out from the cross, And he says in that passage, he says in verse 1, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent." And so we see here in verse 8 that the writer, and I believe he's including the people, that they just feel like that because of all of the distress and everything, that Lord has just kind of shut the door. Shut out the prayer. And even though they're crying and shouting unto the Lord, pleading and begging, he refuses to hear them. And if you'd be honest, you've probably said that before. I know I've said that. You pray about things, maybe sickness, it may be other things, problems, and we pray about it and we just, you know, finally ask the Lord, "Lord, are you listening? Have you heard me when I pray?" In verse 9, he says, "And he hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked." Enclosed my ways, that is, put obstacles in the way. And with hewn stone, like a stone wall, hard to be broken through. Then he says in verse 10, he says, "And he was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places." Amazing here is you could write down Hosea. I'm actually going to read that in Hosea chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Hosea chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, in reference to Ephraim. like a bear in the line, just waiting to tear to pieces. He says, that's God, you was like that unto us. Notice in Hosea chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, it says, for I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, and as a young lion to the house of Judah, I will tear and go away, I will take away, and none shall rescue him. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offenses and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. So the Lord has, this is all done. Again, this is the Lord's doing. Throughout this passage, you notice in just about every verse, like in verse 2, he hath led me. In verse 3, he turneth his hand against me all the day. He is turned. Verse 5, he hath builded against me. Verse 6, he has set me in a dark places. Verse 7, he hath hedged me about. Notice with me now as we come to verse 10 again. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait and as a lion in secret places. Notice in verse 11. In verse 11, he hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He's made me desolate. Pulled me in pieces. Again, I'll give you a quote from the book of Hosea, and this time it will be in Hosea chapter 6. In Hosea chapter 6 and verse 1, this is again the Lord speaking, and he says, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. And so the writer here is saying in verse 11, he hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. And so he feels like it's as a bear or a lion that has done this back in verse 10. And he's just torn to pieces. Then in verse 12, he says, and he hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. Verse 13, he hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. In these two verses, and there's some other passage, Job 7, verse 20. And by the way, when the Lord bends his bow, he never misses. Never misses the mark. Never misses the mark. And that's what we will always want to keep in mind. And in verse 12 and 13, David speaks of this. I want to read just a few verses in Psalms 38. Psalms 38. David speaks of this when he was going through his troubles over his rebellion against God. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. He says in Psalms 38, verse 1, he said, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. And here's what he said about the arrows. He said, for thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. And so it's like the Lord shooting arrows. He goes on to say, David does, he said in verse 3, there is no soundness in my flesh. There's some similar language here as in Lamentations. And this would be the time after David's sin with Bathsheba. And this would be the time, chapter 32 speaks of this, chapter 38, chapter 51 of Psalms. And this would be the time period when David had not confessed his sins. And that lasted anywhere from 9 months to a year. You remember when he's confronted by the prophet Nathan, and Nathan said, thou art the man, and he repents of that and so forth. This is describing his life during this time of unrepentance. And he said in verse 3, there is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin, for mine iniquities are gone over mine head. As an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink, and they are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. My loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and all my groanings is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone out. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore. And he says, and my kinsmen stand afar off. He goes on to speak of this. Physically, spiritually, and emotionally, David was a wreck during this time of rebellion. Go back with me to Lamentations. And notice in verse 12 and 13, he has bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. And he hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins, or my, probably referring to his liver, or you, in other words, he's being hurt by these. And he says in verse 4, I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. You can write down two verses in reference to this. Jeremiah 20, verse 7. Jeremiah 20, verse 7. And he says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. And David, or not David, but Jeremiah in chapter 20 of Jeremiah, verse 8, 9, 10, 11. He even got to the place that he said in this passage, he said, well, I'm not preaching anymore. And I'm putting that on words. He said, I'm just going to keep silent. I'm not preaching anymore. But he said, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire up in my bones. He couldn't stop. You ever wondered why that some people can come into the Christian faith and in a short period of time just cast it all away and be almost worse than they were before they came? You ever wonder why some come into the Christian faith and they stay with it throughout their life, and they may have some ups and downs, but they stay with it because, and here's the reason why, because God has put something inside of them. The very reason we are meeting here tonight, God has put something inside that we want to serve Him. I believe you're here because you want to serve Him. And so that was Jeremiah. And when Jeremiah had said all of these things, he said, I'm just going to keep silent. He couldn't keep silent. I'm just going to quit preaching. He couldn't. And then in Jeremiah 20, verse 7, he said, but the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. He couldn't quit. At times he wanted to, he was depressed. It's like Jonah trying to get out and run, and the Lord caught him. And well, notice with me now as we come to verse 15, he said, he hath filled me with bitterness, and he hath made me drunken with wormwood. It's like a poison, a bitter poison plant. And in verse 15, fill me with bitterness. Bitterness is not always just bitterness of soul and heart. It can be a bitter spirit, but it can also be a metaphor for trouble and affliction. And so he says, he hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He has also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. A pretty graphic language here, isn't it? I mean, he's just laying it out and saying, this is the way I feel. This is the way we look. This is our condition. And also, by the way, where he says, I was in derision, write down in verse 14, Psalm 69:12, the Lord Jesus is mentioned there also when he's going to the cross. He's mentioned there in the same light. But in verse 15, filled with bitterness, you could write down Job 9, verse 18. Job felt this and understood this. The wormwood is mentioned in Revelation 8, and I think Jeremiah 9 and verse 15. And he's intoxicated with misery, like he's been poisoned. But now in verse 16, he says, he hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And the descriptive language here, like all the other. In other words, instead of eating bread, we're eating gravels and stone. And a good verse by verse 16 would be Proverbs. And I'll make sure I got this right. Proverbs 20, verse 17. Proverbs 20, verse 17 says, bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Gravel is hard to eat. It's hard on the teeth. It's hard to swallow. And not that I've ever ate any, but I just know that it is. And so, notice now in verse 17. He says in verse 17, he said, and thou hast removed my soul. So you see, he goes back from the physical to the spiritual or the emotional. And he says in verse 7, we'll come to verse 17, thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity. Prosperity here is God's goodness, God's favor. But notice here in this passage, he's speaking in the spiritual and emotional side of things. And he said in verse 17, and thou hast removed my soul far from peace. He lost his peace. There's turmoil. And he lost that peace that he had. The whole nation lost that peace. And nothing more that we want and desire, we should desire, is peace within our soul and within our hearts. And then in verse 18, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Notice here a hopeless situation. It's what it looks like. Hopeless situation. And then in verse 19, he said, remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. Again, another probably a poisonous herb. And using this more as metaphors here in the passage. But he's remembering his situation under a heavy burden, under this distress and so forth. And then in verse 20, he said, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. So through it all, he's humbled. He's lost his hope in verse 18, so to speak. But as we come to verse 21, he says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. And you could write down two verses on this in reference to the hope, the renewed hope. You'll find David speaking of this in the book of Psalms and in chapter 42, Psalms chapter 42, and in verse 5, Psalms 42 and verse 5. This is a wonderful chapter. Where he says, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God. But in verse 5, he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? He said, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. You ever speak to yourself? You're not always crazy when you talk to yourself, especially if you're telling yourself what you need to do. And then in verse 11 of Psalms 42, that was verse 5, now verse 11, he said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. So David had went through some of the same things emotionally and spiritually and physically, and here he's saying, my hope is in God when all hope is lost. Now, verse 21, he said, this I call to my mind, therefore have I hope. And we're going to pick up the next time in verse 22. And here's where you really find the hope in the Lord, and that God, the covenant God, will show mercy to these people. Let's just read it and we'll close. Verse 22, he said, it is of the Lord's mercies, notice these are plural, many, that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great. Now here's Jeremiah. Keep in mind, here's Jeremiah standing in the rubble of Jerusalem. And the temple destroyed, the city destroyed, homes are destroyed, many have died, thousands have been carried captivity into captivity, and Jeremiah said they would be there 70 years. He's standing in the midst of this rubble, probably looking at Jerusalem, and he's saying in these passages, he said, speaking of the Lord's mercy, great is thy faithfulness, verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. Verse 25, the Lord is good. Think about this now. Nothing is left. Nothing is left except hope and promises and God's covenant. And he said, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. And Jeremiah was of this kind of person. Verse 26, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And Jeremiah said, I'm willing to do this. So we'll pick up in verse 21 through verse about 26 next time that we meet. Would you stand with me? And Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for the Book of Lamentations, that we can glean from that, that we can learn. Lord, we pray that You'll take these truths, Lord, and burn them into our hearts, that we keep them before us, and realizing the seriousness of Thy Word, for it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.